On Robin Hood Radio, as you know, we have been closely following the events going on with New Vance Health and Sharon Hospital. As a matter of fact, we spoke with Victor Jermak, and Victor and I kind of laughed a little bit. We've been around and dealing with the Sharon Hospital and the different ownerships basically for the past 20 years. Well, everything's come full cycle, and once again, the community is getting involved. And we here at Robin Hood Radio do have the Sharon Hospital on once or twice every 6 weeks as part of an underwriting contract that we have. And we wanted to get other people also on air talking about their concerns and their feelings. As I said, Victor Jermak gave us a real detailed explanation on what he sees are the fiduciary problems that are going on and some of the legal problems and the state of Connecticut oversight. But we finally have a doctor that is joining us, Dr. Corinne Kelser, who is a MD and works at attending at the Sharon Hospital. And we're going to speak a little bit about that side of it, what she sees as a doctor. Give us a little bit of background on yourself, how you got into medicine in the first place and how you wound up being an internist and a doctor up here.
Okay, well, that's a fun story. Well, I started out when I was a teenager, actually. I'd heard about the phenomenon of PAs, physician assistants. These were people that came out of Vietnam, well-trained in the medic field, and yet they didn't have much to do at home. So a number of colleges, universities, one was in North Carolina, Texas Medical Center, a few of them decided that they would put a training together and teach people how to do medical assisting that was diagnostic and trained sort of like a physician. So I applied to that. I was like 17 years old and I got a letter back and said, well, you got to go to college and do this other stuff first because you can't go to Vietnam. And so I did. I went to school and I did finally get accepted to his PA school. And I first came back to Sharon Hospital after graduating from PA school because the ER doctor there had talked to me, and he helped me through my career quite a lot. And that was Dr. Weeks. And Dr. Carnes Weeks had said, you know, when you come back, let's see if we can find you a position. And indeed, he did. I was the first PA, as far as I know, ever in the emergency room at Sharon Hospital. And then I also worked at that time as a PA in a family practice. Then, because of actually medical, I had gotten sick and I'd had a cancer and I had to have surgery, and it kind of just changed my life. And when I came back, I decided I was going to go to medical school, and I did. So I became went to medical school in my 30s. And because this is my home, it's where I grew up. It's, you know, Sharon, Lakeville is where I know. I came back to practice, and I worked in the emergency room. I am an internist, board certified. I got involved in addiction medicine, which I'm also board certified in. And I did wound care, which I'm also certified in. And all of these things lent themselves perfectly to this environment around here. And I became, you know, very comfortable knowing my clients, knowing the community, and I'd always worked at Sharon Hospital in one form or another. So that's how I got in. So that's the story. I am now thinking about, I am going to retire from primary care. I am not going to retire from wound care, and I'm not going to retire from addiction medicine. But I no longer want to do primary care internal medicine, just because I want to do other things. So that's my story on how I came here, and that's just.
All right, Dr. Kelser. Now let's talk a little bit about your thoughts and feelings about what's going on at Sharon Hospital with New Vance Health. About a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, there was a letter in the Lakeville Journal. And you and I spoke about that letter, and that letter, which was highly critical of moving the women's services out and other things that New Vance is doing. You agree with that letter collectively. So let's talk a little bit about your agreement with that letter and just some of the things that you have seen go on since New Vance.
This has been a very kind of an unbelievable experience for me. I get to be in a tiny office, you know, downstairs, but I'm very close friends and have been colleagues with all of the people at Sharon since the 80s, right? This is a long time. So I get to hear and see everything. And because of my relationship with nurses and doctors, I knew something was going wrong. A couple of years ago, things started to be unusual. But first of all, I want to say that letter is absolutely true. Everything that was written in the Lakefield Journal is just the tip of the iceberg of what I know is true. And I'll leave that part at that. So read the article, believe it.
And that letter, by the way, is still available online. You can go to the digital edition of the Lakefield Journal and find that letter. Just do a search for it.
Yes. And please do, because it's very important. And the reason I'm here and doing this is because this is my home. Sharon Hospital is my hospital. I am a community member and have done community work here all my career. This tragedy that is happening as we're watching is kind of beyond my belief, because now as I put the whole thing together, and as I say, now that I have access to the forensic accounting, I've had access to a lot of different things and people, I realized that this was an orchestrated effort to destroy Sharon Hospital. It wasn't just bad management. It's not that, you know, this was well thought out. COVID was taken advantage of. Most of the data that is unbecoming to Sharon's financial situation is when there was nobody going to the hospital unless they were sick. The whole attitude of harassing nursing is another thing I want to talk about, where nurses have been approached by administrators saying the hospitals, this ICU here, this will not be here. So you need to look for another way to make a career. You can stay with us, but perhaps at another hospital or in another position, or going up and same thing, administrative people going to the obstetrics ward, the maternity place, and saying similar things. This will be shut down on such a date. So, you know, your job will, well, when that happens, right, that shakes the whole inner core of your hospital staff. I mean, some of us have been there since the 80s. These are people that have been through all these ups and downs and changes and all around. But this is, now you're talking about the very integrity of people's careers, their lives, how they've chosen to spend their life working for a hospital that they love, and they love the physicians and we love the nurses, and there's just this amazing camaraderie. Well, now you have this, well, why isn't my doctors telling me this? Or you know, why are they hiding that from us? Well, one of the reasons is because they didn't realize that this was going to be a takedown. You know, nobody was not telling people. They just didn't know. We didn't understand what was happening. So, you know, it's important to understand that this was not easy to, in retrospect, we can see how the integration of the staff was disrupted by all of these rumors, and your job is at jeopardy, and the hospital is not going to be here anymore, and there's not going to be an ICU, there's not going to be any babies, there's not going to be any overnight surgery. And when those kind of things float through a hospital, And then you go to the news and you see that, you know, this hospital shut down, Hudson's Baby Hospital was shut down, the maternity unit, you know, the one in New Milford, I believe it was, you know, or Danbury. All of a sudden, this is really happening. People can look at the news and say, my God, this is really happening. It could happen here. I've got to protect myself. So nurses disappeared. Contract workers came in. And that was all used as the reasons why we could no longer have a birthing center was that there was no staff, but they had driven them away and they had done it purposely, you know, very, very orchestrated, this was. So that's an example of these things that were happening that you had this, it was like being in another world. It was like being in a very bad movie.
Yeah. Listening to you talk, Dr. Kelsey, what comes to mind here is that a lot of people said this. I don't know whether you agree or not, but that with the closing of the OB department, and also, by the way, there is the emergency room is not closing. Intensive care is the one where the intensive care section is where the big changes are coming. But I've heard that. If all these things happen, well, already one thing's happened. There's no overnight surgery, but oncology, urology, dermatology, ophthalmology, and these other specialties really will go by the wayside at the hospital.
Yes, and because of this, when you have this kind of environment in the hospital where everybody's feeling so insecure and doesn't know what's going to happen next, doctors who are coming who want to, you know, start a career and make a practice and begin their lives here. Well, they're getting the vibe from the inside of the hospital. Like, wait, we don't even know what's going to be here. On top of it, there have been, and I have met these people, physicians who have actively tried to come here and they have been not called back. They have not been, brought in to see if you would like to have a practice here. They're really not interested unless you want to work for Nuvance, which is very dangerous. I would never suggest that anybody do that, as a practice. They've discouraged pain management from being here. They've discouraged, I know, a neurologist that was going to be here. There are people that have been very excited about the opportunity to live in this beautiful part of the world, send their kids to all these good schools around here. You know, this is a wonderful place to live. And with a healthy hospital, you would have this flourishing, amazing teamwork of private doctors. We've lost all of that because of all of this nonsense that is not real. None of it's real. This could be a thriving medical community. This could be a place where you could learn how to do medicine again, like the way it's supposed to be. Corporate medicine is proving impossible to maintain. The idea of seeing a client every 15 minutes to satisfy some roll call of your corporate boss is in no way satisfying the Hippocratic Oath, okay? In any way, shape, or form. When I started my own private practice because I was not going to do this corporate thing, I realized that most of your practice was built up when you work for these other folks about, dealing with insurance companies, dealing with payments, dealing with billing, making it so the doctor only had to spend 15 minutes in the office with the person and all these other people did everything else. Well, guess what? That doesn't work, right? You've been a patient, right? Everybody's been a patient. They know how frustrating it is. You go for a physical exam and you have 20 minutes. You know, this is your life you're talking about and you are just shut off, shut down, fill out the paperwork, see you later. it isn't working. And I think we've all, physicians have been really lied to that in general, that the only way you can survive now, if you have a corporate backup. And I'm here to tell you that is not true. And there's a pediatrician locally that I don't want to mention names because I don't, but is doing a private practice, doing okay. There's it is possible to do it. And it's much more, it's a much better model for wellness.
Now,
wellness means, you know, the doctor knows who you are. And when you come in, you're continuing a story, not starting all over again. So, you know, the idea that it is not feasible to have a community hospital with an ICU and a maternity ward and a local group of fine physicians is a lie. It can happen. It can happen. This is not a fairy tale. Okay. It can be, but we've been convinced somehow from, you know, these big guys that have come on and eaten all the hospitals up that there's no way you can do it without us. And I have to say, these people that are here now have done a good job of eroding possibility of the future because of this nonsense.
We're speaking with Dr. Kelser, and now we only have a few minutes left, and I want to get your opinion as someone who's been in the inside. You've been at doctors' meetings. How do the doctors inside the hospital feel about what's going on? Because you've been at those meetings, and you've seen those meetings firsthand.
Yeah. Well, you know, all I can say is that all I can say without hurting anybody is there's a lot of fearfulness that their jobs will be what not there if they say too much. So what I will say is they all see that something is wrong and they all want help to fix it. I think many would dream that Nuvance would just say, oh man, I really messed up. Let's put the brakes on this and let's talk to the physicians. Let's figure out how we could do it. I think there's this, you know, hope that they will realize that they've come to the wrong community with this kind of plan. But most do not think that they are able to manage the situation. And not one physician who thinks they're doing a good job. How's that sound?
That that sounds like things I've heard, but I wanted to hear it from somebody who is in close relationship with the doctors and at the Sharon Hospital and who have been involved in what's going on with Nuvance Health. And I appreciate you coming on the air with us and talking about this. We remind people that if they want to get involved, you can go to SaveTheSharonHospital.org and find out many ways that you can get involved. We're going to have Victor Jermak on when the public portion of the hearings with the state get on, and Victor will disseminate some of the information and try to re-explain some of the information of what's going on. But it's good to hear from you, Dr. Kelser, from the inside out about how important it is to have primary care physicians, to have the OBGYN, to have an intensive care facility right here. We had it all before, and hopefully by the time the state gets finished with the couple of certificate of needs, Nuvance will maybe backtrack and change their mind. And if not, there's a lot of work to be done in the community.
Well, there is, sir. And I think this is a fabulous, magical community. And I think we can do this. I have absolute faith that we can turn this around.
Dr. Kelser, thank you once again for taking the time coming on the air and keeping us informed. And as I said to Victor Jermak, I'll keep in touch with you as the process along with the state licensing agency goes on. And it's sorry to hear we're going to lose another primary care physician with you, but you put in quite a few years and you're going to keep going in other sections of the care you're doing. So keep up the great work.
Well, thank you so much. And I will. And I, you know, I'll be here to help any other primary care physician get it going. You know, it's phenomenal work and it's going to be fun. We're going to make it. I believe that. Thank you, Marshall, for having me.